Welcome to a very special Halloween episode of This Paranormal Life! Hey, welcome back. It's Tuesday once again. You're listening to This Paranormal Life, and it is a very special Halloween edition. So if you're listening to this on anything other than Wednesday, 31st of October, 2018, back off. Either go forward in time or backwards in time. This is for Halloween only. Today, you are joined by myself, Mr. Kit Greer, professional paranormal investigator. As usual, Mr. Rory Powers.
Me! That was it.
Great.
I'm just excited.
And as a very special Halloween edition guest, Mr. Dan Krupa.
Hello. I don't really have a spooky voice. It's just regionally muddled.
I think your voice is probably the spookiest.
I don't know if that's a compliment.
Of all of us.
Is it?
Well, in like a sexy
because
ghost
it's, no,
story.
You mean it's like from the middle of f***ing nowhere. It could go one of two ways. I'm like eating you or I'm f***ing you.
Well, your competition is someone with a Northern Irish accent or the voice of a cartoon mouse. So I think you're going to take gold for that.
Yeah. Also, we add a lot of sort of sound effects.
I thought you did them live. So. I thought you're doing these all live. Like, Powers has got this massive soundboard in front of him.
Darth Vader.
It looks like he works at NASA.
That's right. Many of you will know Dan already. We're very excited to have him on the podcast. But as always, there's no time for introductions. We just have to dive right in.
Exactly. You know, most podcasts would tell you a little bit about the guests,
what they do, where they come from.
But the rules. We're about the ghouls. And we're diving in this week to a paranormal tale.
And you don't prep.
You're like written on your hand.
I came up with that last Christmas. I knew I had to wait.
You pouring over rhyming dictionary at the word ghouls all day.
Ghouls.
Diving right in, kasploosh. It's All Hallows Eve. As the days have become shorter, the darkness of winter encroaches and the planets have reached a cosmic alignment. This is something ancient humans knew for thousands of years. A time when, for a brief moment, the separation between the spirit world and our world becomes very thin. Entire other planes of existence become accessible. But unfortunately, it's mostly a one-way street. We can't exactly journey Disney's Coco style to the land of the dead, although that would make tremendous podcasting. But beings on the other side can contact us. It's the late 1600s in what today is Northern Ireland.
Oh, okay, a tale weird. Close to home.
It's good. Mm-hmm. Well, Halloween's very Celtic.
Is it?
Yeah, in origin.
That's right. This is one of the reasons I wanted to get you on the podcast, is because you know quite a lot about, probably more about Samhain. Halloween than I know.
You're like an enthusiast?
I'm a Halloween enthusiast, amateur, but an enthusiast nevertheless. Samhain is the kind of Celtic precursor to Halloween, which is a Christian festival.
And you're like, right, it is like Isle of Man, Ireland, Scotland, everyone else can off basically.
That's where the spirit world is at its most permeable. It's like at the separation where you tear off a new bin bag.
Yeah.
That's Ireland.
Yes, Northern Ireland. And two children, both orphaned at an early age, have been taken into care by a guardian for the first time. The same guardian, in fact. The children's names are John and Nicola.
How old are the children?
Six. Like, pretty young.
All right. It's pretty early on to not know these little details. I don't want to nitpick the story, but just...
Yeah. This guardian was extremely religious, and right away tried to impart that on the kids. Right and wrong, heaven and hell, God and the devil. And like all little kids, they accepted it, understood it, and that became their entire world. They saw everything through the lens of religion. And like all good kids, they grew up over the years.
You're saying bad kids don't?
Yeah, they kind of stay the same. That's what I saw, at least.
What? You turn it into something kind of poetic,
there was a
like,
guy,
oh, bad kids never grow up.
No, you know, I mean literally, in
like
our primary school.
Deviant Peter Pan.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be going into kids' room, you fully grown Peter. It's fine, I never grow up.
Oh, it's fine, don't worry about it.
But let them have their childhood.
He's like a little overweight at this point, got a little stash.
Yeah.
Little Peter stash.
Peter, your tights are soiled. It's quite obvious to everyone else in this room.
He's like, jump out the window, kids, you can fly. Just sprinkle some of this on you. Oh, is that it's magic powder? It's angel dust.
It's just cocaine.
Follow me. Straight into a car.
Sadly, when they grew up a little bit more, their highly religious guardian died suddenly. Now in their early teens, they went into the care of a different new guardian. Only problem was, this person was a hardcore atheist and had no tolerance for religion at all, and they tried to shake the kids loose of their Christian upbringing. But it was all they had ever known, and they weren't about to give in. Young John and Nicola made a pact. They made a pact that whoever died first would visit the other from beyond the grave to come and tell them once and for all who was right, which religion was true, and how to please whatever supreme being was out there.
That's quite a cool idea.
Yeah, it's pretty badass.
That's a good indication of that there is a heaven, at least, if you can come back.
Although,
Can you come back from heaven?
Oh!
Isn't a ghost...
Is that a one-way junction, do you think so?
Depends,
well, angels visit, right? And they live in heaven. They live in heaven.
Are they ghosts, though?
My God, there's so many questions.
The thing is,
that we are not equipped to answer.
Is an angel a ghost?
No wonder we still haven't got to the bottom of all this.
Although they do talk about the Holy Ghost in, Catholicism.
The Holy Ghost can do whatever it wants.
Yeah.
It's got a bye.
But, yeah, that's a good question. You go to heaven, it's supposed to be the never-ending paradise. But what if your one afterlife goal is to go immediately back to Earth?
Yeah. Usually the thing with ghosts is you stay as a ghost. One way of explaining ghosts is it's souls that have unfinished business.
Yeah.
So whether it's to right a wrong, revenge, whatever, to communicate something.
That's right.
And then once that's fulfilled, sometimes in some fiction, the ghost, not that this is fiction, the ghost disappears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't know how that gels with religious stuff.
That's a good question.
Come on, John and Nicola.
Yeah, well, maybe that's it. They made a satanic pact.
Wrong direction.
That they had to fulfill before they could go to heaven.
Terrible idea. Let's prove to him that God is real by showing him the devil. The other side of the coin.
Just to get this correct.
Yeah.
If the atheist side is real.
Right. I was hoping you wouldn't bring this up.
The schema of looking at the world.
Yeah.
Is he or she expecting just nothing?
I guess that makes sense. Yeah. And then, so if he comes back, as long as he isn't got a ball and chain around his leg or something, or horns.
Yeah. I've also got another big question, but I'm going to save this one to the end because I think you might just blow it up.
Okay. Please do. I'm going to cut that. I cannot take the least amount of interrogation on this, please.
It just hard cuts to, welcome back to Rory and Kit's Halloween special.
To recap, satanic pact, they're going to come back, whichever one dies first, going to come back, tell the other what's up. Well, years passed. Nicola married and became Lady Beresford, and John married too and became Lord Tyrone.
Cooler.
Well done, two orphans really making their way in the world today.
That was like a Get Rich or Die Trying story.
Cheers. It's probably because you said Beresford.
Being basically family, they stayed in touch over the years. They would hang out as two families together, spending as much time together as they could. One morning, Lady Beresford was at the breakfast table, and her husband, Sir Tristram, looked at his wife's arm, and she had this little black band wrapped around it. What's that for, dear? What's going on? She goes, don't worry about that. And instead, she changed the subject. She said, where's your next post of work going to be? And just ask him question after question, you know? And he's going, why? What does it matter? But she looked so worried. He was curious. And he said, what's wrong? And she, her face sinks and she goes, it's Lord Tyrone. Something's wrong. He's dead, I know it.
Ooh.
And when the post arrived the following day, indeed, Lord Tyrone had died on Tuesday past. How did she know? Did someone tell her? How is that even possible that news got to her before the post?
Yeah.
Not only that, in the coming days, she turned to Sir Tristram and said, I'm pregnant. I can feel it. I know I am. And it's going to be a boy. She was really sure about these kind of curious things. She had this strong intuition and, whatever, 9 months later. I don't know how long it takes.
9 months later, she's like, I think I'm definitely pregnant.
And that also, oh, you son.
That wasn't me. Was that me?
Yeah.
Oh, that was me. Yeah. All right.
Through your jeans, you put on mute. Well done.
Yeah, just.
What?
Either that or masturbated. I don't know which one it was.
That's all it takes.
Flick of the knob.
Flick of the knob through the jeans. To be fair, I'm doing it all day.
That's
at work.
Done.
I
shouldn't have made that good joke. Because now this has to stay.
I can't stop.
HR pulls me in. Rory, listen, we were looking at the CCTV and I was putting it on mute, okay? I thought this might come up.
That's what I call it.
I was silencing the call.
Just put that on mute.
I think, husband's dead. She made that call.
Sorry, not her husband, brother's dead.
Yeah, brother. She made that call.
Yeah.
Baby's coming. She made that call.
Yep.
It is time to get this girl in a room and talk football.
That's what I'm saying. NBA can, predictions,
exactly,
too. That would be great.
We're talking Super Bowl. Uh-huh. You can get the...
I know what you're thinking.
You know, you could get all the offsets, all the, you know, the big scores.
All the big sports in 16th century Northern Ireland.
What would be
I don't know if there was like a big fantasy football NFL thing going.
Was there some competitive tournament croquet where you just spank that hoop with a stick?
Excuse me?
Celtic hoop spanking?
Yes, yeah, that's the one, yeah. I meant that in the least sexual way possible. You know the little stick smacking...
Put it on mute.
You know where the one that...
Oh.
These were simple times, guys. They didn't have Game Boys. They didn't have Nintendo Switches.
Yeah,
they had a hoop and they whacked it with a stick.
You still got to be way more specific.
Hoop stick.
Oh. Okay.
Hoop stick. Stick hoop. Do you really not know what I'm talking about?
No.
Let me Google a picture for you.
It's actually your phone background. Score. You don't even need to Google it. That's insane.
Hoop. Man, I'm Googling hoop stick and I hope something comes up.
Hell.
There you go.
Okay, well, they've just got a stick and a hoop. I don't know what the game
hoop
is.
Hoop stick.
You can't just point at it and say the words again.
Well, I can't look up a GIF. They didn't have GIFs in the olden days. Okay, look, so the hoop would go along the floor and you would basically beat it with a stick to keep it rolling.
Okay, so it's kind of like when you roll a penny, you give it that, you know, momentum and it rolls along and you're keeping it going with a stick.
You're smacking it, yeah.
And then someone invented football and they're like, that's way better.
I'm way more
into this.
Guys, I got an Xbox.
But even after all the joy of bringing this little boy into the world, sadly, 4 years later, her husband, Sir Tristram, died. She retreated into herself, leading a pretty solitary existence from then on. That is, until she met the local clergyman's son. He saw her about town. He started pursuing her romantically, courting her, whatever they did back in the day, inviting her to games of hoopstick, that kind of thing. I've got front row seats, baby.
My lady, do you spank the hoop?
She's like, get out, sir.
I will have you killed, I'm a lady. But haunted by her past, she resisted. Something had changed in her since her husband's death. She just wasn't interested. But, you know, maybe a year or two later, she had a change of heart. And she kind of reciprocated these feelings to the young man. And eventually they got married.
That was fast.
Yeah, I know.
There's
a lot to get
that
through.
Okay.
You said a couple of years, didn't you?
Yeah.
I think that's okay.
Oh, right. Yeah, I guess.
People live not as long back then. Got fit all in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
days
true
were months to then. You got to just do it all.
And everyone was 4 foot three because of malnutrition.
They lived to the ripe age of 18.
Yeah. You just got to go for it. You're like a fruit fly. It's fitting.
The kids are like 7 years old and their mums are like, you're wasting your life playing hoopstick. You should be married by now.
The day you get acne is the day that...
You die.
Yeah.
That's like the plague.
They think that's what's causing all the death.
Yeah, John just got his first blackhead. That's the end of him.
He got his first boner. That's the end of him.
Once he puts it on mute, he's dead.
You got about 24 hours to have sex and then you're gone.
I tell you, that's a brilliant series of 24.
Yeah. Woo. I like having three people on the podcast. Adding a dirty, inappropriate layer to the podcast.
Hello, I'm a fantastic uncle.
Her and the clergyman's son, they had a turbulent relationship. But eventually, she bore another child. Shortly after this was her birthday. On the day, the local clergyman, her own father-in-law, I suppose, came to visit. She said, oh, how good to see you. Don't you know it's my 48th birthday? Aren't you going to join me to celebrate? But the clergyman, having known her mother before she was orphaned, knew Lady Beresford's age better than even she did. Because she didn't, you know, she didn't have the family around in those early days. And it was kind of early records.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a messy story. I didn't say bad. It's just there's a lot going on.
There's a lot of loose threads, I will concede. But they will be tied together imminently.
Okay.
And he said, I know it's your birthday, but you're 47, not 48. Her face dropped. She looked at him and said, you have signed my death warrant today. I have not long to live. You must leave me immediately as I have some things of importance to settle before I die.
Oh my God.
Once left alone, she called for her sons and her closest friends to join her. She had something to tell them. She said, years ago, before her husband died, Lord Tyrone, her brother, appeared to her in the night. He was sitting at the edge of her bed, but in like a ghostly way. And he said,
"What is it?" So just like floating?
Yes.
Okay.
Ghost
but at the end.
It was in a ghostly way. His legs were crossed, but in the wrong direction. Like back up onto himself.
You could tell it was weird. Sat there going, ooh.
Yeah. Ooh.
I know, she won't wake up. I said, ooh.
Poking her.
Ooh.
Knocking shit over.
Ooh, dumbass.
He has to stay on brand.
Yeah. Ooh, then she wakes up and he like goes, he has to hustle back to the bottom of the bed.
Look really composed.
Yeah. you've awakened.
He said, I'm dead.
That'll do it.
Straight to the punch.
I bloody well know you are.
Yeah, you do. Look at the pose.
I saw your funeral, mate.
I'm dead, but I remembered our pact, and I've come back to see you. He said, first of all, keep doing what you're doing. God likes religion. Keep doing that. Don't do the atheist thing. Okay. Definitely not.
I love that it's like an annual review. Yeah. Keep doing what you're doing. It's great.
You're doing
fantastic.
Great.
Like, there's actually not enough budget for paying Chris's this year.
But he also told her stuff from the future. He said, you're going to have a son, but 4 years later, your husband will die. You will marry again and bear another son, but you will die in your 47th year. She sat there, not moving, didn't know what to do. He tried to convince her that this was real, it wasn't just a dream. He tried writing something down, he threw stuff around the room, but she just wouldn't move. So he leaned over and grabbed her wrist with his ghostly mitts. And immediately, the skin on her wrist withered and the veins turned grey.
Ooh.
It was real. And ever since that day, she wore a black band around her wrist to hide the scars.
Okay.
Thoughts?
It's interesting. It's very spooky. So the guy who told her she was 48 didn't really kill her.
No.
She was going to...
No.
In fact, he actually probably did her a favor.
Well, she thought she got past it.
That's it. I think that's why she was happy.
She just turned 48, but she was actually 40. I think she was like, oh, it was all bullshit because I haven't died. He said I'd die when I was 47.
Yeah.
But then he was like, you're actually still,
you've just turned.
You just got to your 47th year, so it could still happen.
Oh, okay. So she's not going to be happy about that, is she?
Yeah.
She's going to be pretty pissed.
Probably. She could live another year.
Yeah.
She doesn't know at that point.
Yeah. She's got a max of 365 days left.
Made the most of it.
Yeah. That's what I would do.
YOLO.
Don't like the idea of like a ghost touching you, like withers your hand.
I thought that.
I wonder if the brother knew that before he did it.
Yeah,
seems a bit of a mean.
Or was it like what was
it's like the afterlife sibling equivalent of a Chinese burn?
Yeah,
I'm gonna give you a withered arm for the rest of your life.
To be fair, how
that's really
harsh. Could he have known?
Nah, he might not.
That's true.
That's the thing. Like one of my favorite movies, Beetlejuice. When you die, you get the handbook for the recently deceased, which is a guidebook for like new ghosts, which I think
realistic.
Is really useful. Because it's like, you know, there's a lot of stuff to navigate.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like he hasn't been primed. It was like from a time before that. They didn't have all the courses.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're a baby growing up to be a human, an alive human, you know, you got 12 years to work out how to do that.
And parents.
And parents.
12 years before you were dropped off in the middle of the wilderness.
You don't need your diaper anymore. but yeah, when you die and become a ghost, you're thrown in the deep end here. You've got your ghost powers, but you don't know what they are. You're floating all
of
a sudden.
That's why in Beetlejuice they assign you like a caseworker.
That's smart.
Orientate you in the afterlife. So he might not have known, but he knew how to get back to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because maybe he, in his head he was like, oh, take my hand and I'll show you the visions of your death. He just touches her and it's like, ah! Like, well, burns her hand away. And he's like, I didn't know it was going
to
do
like,
that.
He's like, to be perfectly honest, I did not know that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like in X-Men. What's that character? And she can't touch anyone. Rogue. And like, you know, she's this lovable character and she's just lonely, but everyone she touches physically dies.
It's like it's a metaphor.
Almost.
Wow. Almost.
But it's real. It's not meta because that would make it fiction. If it was a metaphor.
And
so
lame.
It's real, guys. Real. With her birthday, there was a sense of disbelief, maybe. I think that came up whenever her husband died. She realized that a lot of the prophecy had come true. Mm. So then whenever this guy started trying to woo her, she was like, "F this. The prophecy says I'm getting married again. I'm not doing
She's
it.
She's trying to resist
yeah.
his destiny.
Right
I was
away.
Wondering like how long he'd taken like to keep his promise, like of like giving her the answer.
Mm-hmm. Fair play to him, because I'd probably
forget.
About in heaven for a little bit.
That's it.
I gotta be like, I will be right back. But honestly, it's banging
up here.
I don't
know if you mean that in a literal sense or a euphemistic sense.
It's maybe not, both. I don't know what it's like.
It's wicked in heaven.
Can you spank the hoop?
You can do whatever you want. Oh, you like spanking the hoop? Got a whole area for that.
He's like, over here we have the Golden River. Over here is just like a sushi go round that never ends.
Sound like he's just full of piss. Just don't. Come on, just stop this.
It's like, all I want.
Make heaven.
Is a hoop and a stick.
Heaven. Heaven isn't Vegas. In your version of heaven, it might be Vegas. Doesn't have to be. Yeah, so he came back further quickly to keep that promise, which is good of him, because I feel like if I died, I'd have like a lot on my mind, mm-hmm. and I'd probably forget that obligation. Do we know if this had any impact on her life? Though, did she become more religious? Because that's kind of what he's proving, I guess, that the afterlife does exist, so therefore kind of Christian religion is...
Well, that was the point of all of, like, the reason he came back.
It is true. That is the central point. But I wouldn't be surprised if she had a complicated relationship with religion after that, because like
getting burned by a ghost.
He's throwing in a lot of extra content with the whole Christianity thing that isn't talked about in the Bible.
Yeah.
Prophecies. Well, this is your husband dying.
This is the curveball question I was going to throw in. Just because you're an atheist,
yes,
doesn't necessarily mean ghosts don't exist.
It's a good point. Well presented.
Because an atheist believes there isn't, like, an overarching, like, deity or creator. Mm-hmm. But a ghost could still exist, I guess. Like, if you're an atheist.
Yeah. Maybe ghosts are like the food in Hook. You can only see it if you believe in it.
I always... they look like poster paint, but I still wanted to
eat it. Look like colourful mashed potatoes. Yeah. I really liked it as well.
So what Lady Beresford experienced was a type of fortune-telling, and it was done through the medium of... spirits in the beyond. But there are a lot of ways of telling the future, including but not limited to electromancy, astromancy, cleromancy, gastromancy, geomancy, hydromancy, lithomancy, necromancy, onomancy, pyromancy, crystallomancy, chronomancy, or tarotmancy.
Ooh.
So tarot, for the unfamiliar, is a deck of cards. It's about 80 in total, with various mythological themes on them. It's believed by some that tarot was initially practiced by the ancient Egyptians, that the cards themselves represented the Book of Thoth, written by the Egyptian god himself. It contained the word of the gods, the mysteries of Isis, as well as countless other esoteric systems of mathematics and spiritual laws, all rolled in to a deck of cards. Then, after the fall of the ancient Egyptian civilization, the Romani people wandered the earth, taking with them the secret knowledge contained in the cards. When they arrived in France and Italy, I'm sorry, have you got a problem?
Just sounds like you're talking about Yu-Gi-Oh! This could very easily be the intro to an anime.
I was thinking Magic the Gathering or something like that. All of the world's ancient knowledge distilled into these 17 cards. Actually, new expansion. Yeah. We've actually just found some new eternal knowledge. Do you want that?
Well, it's like the lost gospels or something. You know, maybe they find them in a cave somewhere. Who knows?
One card was trusted to the Egyptians. Another card brought across the oceans, lost at sea. It's epic. I love it. I'm into this.
The Egyptian god Thoth collaborated with the Blue Eyes White Dragon to create the cards. So whenever these cards arrived in France and Italy just a few hundred years ago, it was adopted to a simple card game played in parlors all over Europe, hiding in plain sight and spreading in popularity. But the church knew. They knew it wasn't Christian, and they tried to stamp it out. Yet it survived to today. So for hundreds and maybe thousands of years, these cards have been used to tell the future. And today, we're going to use them to investigate the paranormal.
All right.
Behold.
Wow.
Ooh.
All right, so Kit has actually placed a little
engraved wooden box that on the side has like runic symbols.
And in the middle, am I right to believe that is the Tree of Life?
Isadril.
Yeah, I think it's the one from Lord of the Rings, probably.
Yeah, these look Norse like runes.
They do a bit. No idea what they say.
Are these God of War Toctrums?
They're just like, do not open, stay out.
Yeah.
It actually
says Pandora's.
There are actual runes burnt onto the side of this box.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's take a little peek at what's going on.
Your face melts in your face.
It was the Ark! Alright. Already the packaging is pretty battered.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know where you've been taking these.
I'm very uncertain about my future, I should say.
And I feel like you're using the cards wrong.
Ooh, it comes in a little instructions book that has an Ouroboros on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not good.
There's a lot of bad vibes I'm getting from these cards.
You'll see by perusing. Is this the first deck you've seen, Roy?
First deck of tarot cards, I believe it is, yeah.
Cool. So, yeah.
I've never seen one in the flesh.
Yeah,
the flesh.
You'll see they've got elaborate mythological scenes imprinted on them.
Yeah, and a bunch of girls with their baps out. There's some. Oh,
okay. That's how they rock.
Yeah, he's actually right. That's called the star card.
Back in pagan times.
Is this my future? I hope so. Look at that one. A couple of naked ladies in a sky angel.
I'm just
going
to say, you're not going to want to disrespect the cards because they will bring down divine justice. So,
is this going to be one of these things where I'm dealt out and it's like, oh, you got the sunshine, heart of joy, and rainbow? That means death, sin, plagues.
Pretty much, yeah. So if you want to start by shuffling them.
Okay. Can I bend them like Vegas style?
He's doing it Vegas style.
Yeah, so he's just disrespecting them at every turn, basically. Okay.
All right, guys.
Good shuffle, yeah.
One eye jacks, deuces are wild. Place your bets now.
They're very large cards, which makes him doing this very unwieldy.
Yeah. All fingers right. are bleeding there, bud. Yep. Okay.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Kit, as humans, we have to deal with a lot day to day. Sometimes you can feel like your social battery is drained.
Not just my social battery, my regular battery.
Why do you have a regular battery?
I'm not a robot or anything. I'm definitely human.
Right. And as humans, it's important that we understand ourselves so that we can build a social life that works for us.
Yes. I love sharing human memories with my human friends.
So the way you're speaking makes me think that you definitely are a robot.
I'm not. I love all human things. Food, oil.
Okay, so the second thing was already weird.
Huh?
Kit might be a robot, but humans aren't. We need to look after ourselves, and one way to do that is through therapy. With BetterHelp, you can get matched with a licensed therapist that suits your needs. It's online, convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
I live for thousands of years, so my schedule is very flexible.
Fantastic. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/paranormallife today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. help.com/paranormallife.
Affirmative.
Well, who wants to go first?
I'll do it. Okay. Yeah, let's get mine out of the way.
You sound really pessimistic, actually.
If
yours is a close friend of yours will die, and then I do it, and he says, you will die. I will not be impressed.
It's like, you will be murdered, and you will murder.
Oh, sweet.
Okay, so I'm going to give the cards to you. I'm going to need you to knock on them a couple times. That will dispel the energy that I've imparted to them so that this reading will be all about you.
All right.
So you take them.
All right. Treat them with grace.
Yes, if you could. Okay, that's a bit heavy.
Wake up, you demon bastards.
Bit heavy-handed. Yeah, so you can set them down on the table there.
All right.
In the center. Wow.
Come at me.
Yeah. So if you want to take the first card and lay it just below the deck, face down.
Okay.
Don't look at it.
Face down, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's one.
Now, if you can take three more cards, looking at them, and just lay them down. So you've got this one here, and then three more. One, two, three, below.
Right, okay.
So what we're going to do is a past, present, and future reading.
All right.
Now, this card that's at the top, that is going to be the overarching theme of our read today.
Okay. So, like, sun? You want, like, sun or smiles?
Well, you want it to be good, I guess.
I know the thing with some of these is, like, it isn't immediately what you think it might be. Like, some of the cards are like...
So it's like, oh, sword. Like death that means go, friendship, yeah.
Death can actually mean, like, rebirth.
The death
like
of a new something start, bad, yeah.
It can also mean you're going to f***ing get killed.
Yeah, I'm like, flip like, over so, the death card. Some of these have double meanings, though.
There's an episode of Bottom where Rick Mail's character stumbles... They're at, like, a carnival, and he stumbles into a tent with his tarot reader. And she turns over the first card, and it's death. And he goes, oh, no. He goes, no. Death in context can mean a new cycle, the end of something. She turns over a second card, it's death again. He goes, oh shit. She goes, no, it might just mean it's a more intense period of change. She turns over a third one, it's death. And he goes, is that good? And he goes, no, there's only meant to be two in the deck.
So Rory, if you want to start by flipping over that first card.
Oh, my heart is actually racing a little bit.
So this is the theme of the read.
That's okay. Right.
Ace of Wands. I'm not gonna lie, it looks like a dick. It looks like
coming
a hand.
Out of a fart. It looks like a
I got dick fart. Is that a good card?
It looks like a Monty Python drawing.
It does.
It's just the most disrespectful shit I've ever been privy to. So the theme of this is inspiration, power.
Oh, hey.
Creation, beginnings, and potential.
This sounds great.
On the card, a hand reaches out from the clouds as if a spiritual opportunity is being made. To grasp a wand that is still flowering, growing, and developing. Leaves float down and signify spiritual progress. In the distance, there is a castle that represents the promise of what opportunities may come.
So you're saying I gotta grab my wand and head towards the castle of life?
Potentially.
That's the overall theme. Okay.
It's like potential.
That's a good like motivational thing.
Yeah.
All right, let's go bottom left.
Bottom left, mm-hmm. Okay. What is this one in relation to?
This is your past, sir.
Oh, God. So the card shows two people under some sort of rainbow with children nearby.
Great. This is the Ten of Cups. Let's see what that has to say.
Oh, those are cups. That sounds good. That sounds like, a party.
It's like a rainbow of goblets.
This isn't going to be bad, right? Everyone's having a banging party.
The Ten of Cups. Divine love, blissful relationships, harmony, and alignment. Loving couples stand together, arms outstretched as their children play nearby. They have a home on the hill and a beautiful rainbow in the sky.
Hell yeah.
The couple shares true everlasting love.
I don't know if you can be good at these cards, but I'm smashing
well, it's good
it.
That, it's good that it's all behind you now.
Cool, if you want to go ahead and do your present.
All right. Hello. Ace of Swords.
It's got two aces.
Now we're talking. I got a sword and a f***ing wand. I'm like Harry Potter meets...
Luke Skywalker. Laser sword. Hello.
I guess. Ah, the Ace of Swords. Raw power. Victory, breakthroughs, and mental clarity.
I've had power twice mentioned in my predictions. This is great.
The upright sword is symbolic of the mind and intellect. The wreath... indicates success and victory, and the crown indicating mental clarity. You've got an overall picture of potential, of prosperity, you know, a past of kind of love and happiness, a present of raw power, victory and breakthroughs. So we're kind of on a absolute roll here. I guess let's just see what the future holds.
So far, I am just some sort of magical beast slayer. I've got a wand.
You've ditched your family.
I've got power.
Gone power mad.
I've got 10 golden cups in the sky.
I'm going to put a crown on my sword.
The future is bright, my friends. I'm ready to flip this card.
Let's see it.
Strength. It's literally a dude strangling a lion.
This is f***ing rigged,
wait,
man.
He's strangling a lion, and he's got the infinity symbol above his head.
That means I can never die.
It's infinite power, lads.
I can kill whatever I want.
What's your destiny? Infinite power?
Someone stab me.
That's right. The future holds the strength card. That's courage, persuasion, influence, and compassion.
It's going to be big on Instagram.
Because the lion is known for its ferociousness, the fact that you've tamed this wild beast and unleashed its calming, loving energy means that you can overcome any obstacle.
Oh, yes.
So, I don't really know what to say about this, but...
Well done.
Do you feel like this relates to you?
Yes, absolutely. You know, when you came in here, Kit, with your cards about the future... You know, my first instinct was to call you a nerd and a coward.
Right.
And tell you.
And then you disrespected the cards time and time again.
Yeah, with my wand and my sword. But now you're talking about how, like, courageous I am and I can tame any beast and I've got all these weapons and, like, a happy family. You're starting to make some sense, Malvana, for once. So, hell, I'm ready to believe in the heart of the cards.
Glad to have you on board, brother. Will we do another for Daniel?
Absolutely.
It's going to go badly, isn't it?
I know that they're, you know, open to interpretation, but I think I can't die. Oh, this one means you're going to be punched in the balls.
This one means you're impotent. What? Is that an ancient card?
Well, it's got a sword on it.
Is that an ancient card?
Oh, and this one, you're...
This one says Baron. What the fuck is this about?
Here's a picture of you taming the goat.
You got a jacking off card. Sweet. It's a little droopy sword.
So I'm going to pass you the cards. Mm-hmm. You're going to want to knock on them.
Okay.
As before, to dispel my negative energy,
very
I'm very cursed.
The cards.
Yeah.
Very, very respectful.
It was a tender touch. Not my style, but...
Feel free to place them down, and you can arrange them one by one in the way that Rory did previously. Dan is placing the cards in a four-card formation, past, present, and future. When you're ready, reveal the first card.
Okay. All right, this is the theme of the read. It is a man side by side three big sticks or thin emaciated trees with the number 3 above him.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie, that looks a bit like a barren forest.
Looking away from it.
Yeah, like it's all behind you now. To be fair, there's not much going on in front of you.
Hey, mate, land of opportunity that. You can't see the castle behind me.
The Three of Wands. A man stands on a cliff with his back turned, looking out over the sea to distant mountains. From this height, he can see all that lies ahead and is aware of all impending challenges and opportunities. This is about preparation, about foresight, enterprise, and expansion.
Nice. That's good.
How relevant.
It's like you've got your feet firmly planted on the ground, you know, looking at all that's coming up.
See everything clearly, me.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So, go ahead with the other ones.
Tell us about your past, Daniel.
Ooh, first card. This is my past. This is right way around.
Great.
Number one, the magician. He's holding up. A two-ended candle. Could be a wand. There's a pentagram on a plate in front of him. A goblet.
That sounds good.
Loads of flowers at his feet and an infinity symbol above his head.
Great.
Infinite magician.
That sounds good. That's right, the magician's got one hand pointing up towards the universe and one pointing down towards the earth. He's connected to both the spiritual realm and the material realm. Very in keeping with our Halloween theme. He's using that connection to manifest his goals in the physical realm. This is about manifestation, about resourcefulness.
What about the pentagram on the plate?
I was going to say, perfectly, I'm managing editor. It's all about resource management and also pentagrams.
Yeah.
It's all of it.
It's
a pentagram plate. Got to eat off something. But I think I've just had a sandwich.
Not off the devil's trays.
Not off these devils.
Thing is, though,
he makes the best sandwiches.
Pentagram is like...
Deviled eggs as well, they're brilliant.
Oh, yeah, his eggs. He just calls them eggs.
I think the thing with the pentagram is, if you go back far enough, it's not the devil. I think it's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
He's got a pentagram. Yeah, it's something else.
He just adopted it like the Nazis.
Basically.
Do you know it's actually a peace symbol, a Tibetan peace symbol.
Why has it got teeth though?
I can't use this anymore.
Right. Great. Well, this is all looking great so far. Go right ahead to your present, Dan.
Temperance.
Whoa,
so this is
glorious.
A depiction of an angel, and she's pouring what looks like water. It could be wine from one golden goblet to the other.
It's passing the time.
She's got one foot in a little lake in front of her.
It does look like she has demon wings, though. Is that relevant?
Angel wings, mate.
They're burning red.
Maybe she dyed them. Maybe it was a style thing. Like it was very much
the style of the time.
Yeah, that was like Rihanna's kind of red hair phase. Everyone was getting involved. The Temperance card shows an angel who's both masculine and feminine. Pours water between two cups, symbolic of the flow of alchemy and life.
You're big into those. Alchemy and life.
Straddling divides.
The winding path in the background up to a mountain range reflects the journey of life so far. This one's about balance, moderation.
Blackburn. From Blackburn to London.
Patience.
There's a central
purpose.
Line. Yeah.
we're getting a pretty, you know, down to earth read here, I feel like, so far. You know, it's about looking out over what's coming up, building on the balance and successes of the past, but having patience in the present moment. So what does your future hold?
What if the last one's like just mad? It's like the Predator. It is upside down the world.
Oh shit.
Oh shit.
One of the things you don't want upside down.
So it's upside down, it's the world. It is it's a nudie lady holding two wands, and she's surrounded by a bunch of animals that look vaguely human. Well, there's like a lion that looks like a goat or a bull and an eagle.
So apparently the world upside down, or reversed as they say, can indicate delays in your life. Ooh. You know, it might indicate you want to fulfill a big goal or complete a major project, but you're just not taking the steps necessary to get there. You might be opting for the quickest or easiest path to attain it, but that's not going to lead to the outcome you want. You might be close to reaching completion of something, but for whatever reason, you're just losing focus and slacking off right at the end. You've got to re-energize, do everything you can to reach
your goal.
See
it over the line.
See it over.
Wow.
Just write the screenplay down. You look.
Bloody hell.
Send it to Lloyd Webber for f***'s sake.
Have you done dogs? Cats was huge, but do you know how many popular dogs are?
No? Fine. Cats too?
Bloody hell, I think they're real.
I know. I mean, it's so accurate.
I know about the Fora effect.
Yeah.
But I will go along and just say I think these are real.
Yeah. Wow, those are strong words. Because these are bullshit cards. I made them just before I came out. Those are drawn with crayon.
Can we do... obviously, I don't have the psychic capabilities of you.
Of course.
Our dungeon master. Mm-hmm. Can we...
you know that wasn't D&D.
Can we draw one card from the deck to determine your whole life kit?
You know, you can do a single card draw. Sometimes it's used to clarify a reading, but
yeah,
we can certainly do it to see if it's going to bring up any kind of questions or unanswered things.
All right, Kit.
Wow, I can't believe my future is about to be told.
Draw your card. The Page of Wands.
Upside down.
Reversed, yeah.
Ooh.
I don't think there's going to be power involved. I don't think there's going to be power or intellect or those kind of things.
Like, can you describe the card to us?
Yeah, the card is a...
Yeah.
Like a little posh prick.
Yeah, like an assistant. Like a page.
Yeah.
Little posh prick.
Like a little nerd.
It looks like a little posh prick.
Okay, he actually looks like Kit now that I think about it. Yeah. Shit.
He looks like he's from Northern Ireland.
Shouldn't have a wand.
He looks like he's a dickhead.
He actually does have kind of fair curly hair.
Yeah.
He's wearing a hat as well.
He is, actually.
Well,
he's got your face.
He's actually hosting a podcast now that I look at it.
It's not even a wand, it's a mic stand. Well, I'm sure that whenever I look into the details of this, that it is going to say that he's actually a badass, hot as hell, popular as hell, and
his parents love him.
Very paid.
Of course.
The Page of Wands is a well-dressed young man standing alone in a wilderness.
That's you so far.
Setbacks, pessimism, and lack of direction.
Wow.
It's when you want that extra card now to really clarify it.
The Page of Wands suggests that you've tried a few new ventures or projects, but they haven't really worked out. They haven't been successful. Page of Wands depicts someone who's immature with a self-image problem. It could even be someone who's mean-spirited or aggressive, or someone who's helpless and always the victim.
So the cards are real.
They've been spot on tonight. Yeah.
This person is superficial, lazy, and arrogant. Uncooperative and impatient.
They're really rubbing it in now, because they started with just being like, oh, it's someone who doesn't really know where they are in life. They feel lonely. Maybe they failed a couple ventures. They're also selfish.
But if you're still reading,
asshole.
They're also a prick.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, come on.
His scarf's a bit shit as well. It's like, all right, man, you don't need to.
And actually, I said he was well-dressed, but he thinks he's well-dressed. He actually looks like a twat. So that, you know, actually, to be fair to the cards, that's not even really my future. That's just... Yeah, that's just criticizing me openly.
Yeah, I think we've all come to the same conclusion with these cards. I think, you know, you know, it's a bit of fun in games, but, you know.
Real fun in real games.
No, I think the guys who played it as a parlor game in France, they were spot on. You know, all this fortune telling, I don't really know all that.
Tell that to my lion.
Okay.
Tell that to my wand, bro, and my sword.
Yeah. I've got one wand.
That is not a wand.
I don't feel too great about that.
It's a skinny little twig.
Guys, I've taken you on a bit of a roller coaster with this story set in Ireland of a lady whose prophecy was foretold by her own goddamn brother, and much of it came true. And then I've attempted here on the podcast live to tell your fortunes also. Now, the problem is we can't be sure whether those will come true, but maybe you'll have an idea for whether it is an accurate reading of your own lives. But where do both of you come down on this type of fortune telling?
Look, you know, I'm not going to lie, I was skeptical when we started. I've never done any sort of predictions like this before, never seen a psychic or anything like that. But then all of a sudden, you know, the cards are telling me that I'm jacked, that I'm handsome.
I don't think said that.
And I got the jacked card.
No,
the
jacked of wands.
It's giving me cups in the sky. It says I'm going to a castle with
there
a
might have
wand.
Been a castle. Yeah.
It made me feel like a man. Mm-hmm. And I think any type of
card game that makes,
card
you feel
game
like,
that makes me feel like a man.
Says this and it's Jim Rummy.
Is accurate to me. So I'm into it. Do okay. I know if it's real or not? No, but I'm willing to believe it.
So it's probably one of the worst conclusions we've ever had in the podcast. I mean, you really just took that one to heart and didn't really consider the evidence.
Sorry, is the Page of Wands talking to me right now?
Hey.
I, the king?
Hey.
Is little scarf prick boy trying to talk to the lion tamer?
I want you to basically make your own deck of tarot cards with new names.
That would be
little prick of scarves. Oh, you got that, have you?
Oh, he's not good.
I got the jacked card.
what do you think, Daniel? What's your conclusion?
I'm quite skeptical about tarot cards and horoscopes in general because they're ambiguous enough that people can identify with different elements of them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, like you say, a general statement, people will latch on. It's like, you know, when people go, oh, like, you're a really positive person, but like sometimes you have those moments of doubt when you're alone where you think about it too much and you think what other people think of you and you go, oh yeah, that is me. And yes. You realize that is just a universal trait.
Yeah, everyone
obviously
thinks
not for the king of jacked castles.
No, I can't relate at all.
Oh.
But
I
so,
just, when I get home, I just look in the mirror and flex till I go to sleep.
And it's the same, like, keep flexing.
I'm not even that jacked as well. I'm really kind of flabby.
You're just led in bed, just constantly flexing.
Tensing. I haven't pooped in days.
Which is the same technique that psychics use, you know, yes. Say general statements, people latch onto them.
Yeah.
So with all that skepticism in mind, you know, I was really reluctant to do this, but seeing my cards, I thought it was spot on.
Yeah.
So yeah, probably definitely true.
On a real note, yeah, I feel like, you know, I sort of started messing around with tarot cards a couple of years ago. And I feel like everyone I show them to kind of has that, like,
whoa,
moment of, like, that actually kind of applies to me. And it's definitely hard to draw the line as to what, like, are those gross generalizations.
Yeah. But I think you want to see patterns, mm-hmm. and you want to make correlations and connections. And that's, like, how human minds work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so if you see like a thing that is quite abstract, you immediately want to make it specific within the context of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where that illusion comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's it. Like, human lives are complex. I probably could have been dealt two completely different cards and I still would have gone, whoa, that relates to a different thing in my life. These are so accurate. You know, you can kind of make sense from anything,
like,
you're dealt.
Ambiguous enough that you could graph that onto any aspect of your life, probably.
Yeah, I mean, that's a
weird
one.
That one. I've never done that. Actually, that's me at the end of a night out. It's just me in a cloak looking over three cups. Shit, that happened last week.
That is a hangover card if ever I've seen one, yeah. He has a lot of empty cups.
If he turned around, he'd just have sick down his front.
All the golden cups from my rainbow are just scattered across the floor on that card. That's terrifying.
That's the aftermath. Tarot as a popular interest has shifted away from fortune telling towards introspection and self-analysis, for sure. But I think that the way that you relate it to your own life is real.
Yeah.
Is the card predicting something in the future? I don't think so.
Well, it's like when you divide them up, like past, present, and future, in like a really like banal way, that is literally just like segmenting your life. If you were gonna leave and go, if you went to like a business lecturer and they're like, or like a motivational person and go, like, let's look at where you've been, where you are now, where do you want to be in 5 years?
Yeah.
That's kind of what you're doing.
Yeah.
But also you're doing it with cool looking cards.
Hell yeah, brother. So you guys don't sound too hot on the cards, but what about the story of Lord Tyrone and Lady Beresford?
I thought it was a very interesting story. I liked...
And real?
Well, let's... Please don't jump to any conclusions. Okay. I liked the idea of the brother keeping the pact and coming back to visit her.
Mm-hmm. It's very cool. Realistic, I felt.
It's cool when you merge religion and ghosts.
The church should do something about that. Really, so they get a lot more people.
Yeah, because they're always just like, and Jesus ate the bread and this and that. And he was like, it should have been like, he said, drink this wine. It's my blood.
Yeah.
My zombie blood.
They should have said that, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, but not the zombies. Right. Yeah. Yeah, you have to have a zombie in. Yeah.
Yeah, it depends on the gospel.
Yeah.
There's a lot of discrepancy between Matthew and Mark.
I want to rewrite it to be like the dope Bible.
They should have sent Jesus back with like a like Freddy mask and stuff just to really shock the people, you know?
You're so listening it, now.
So like at the last supper, they like Uber Eats in a bunch of McDonald's. He's like, eat this nugget.
That's not how we did. That's not how we did the feeding of the 5,000. Yeah. They didn't just see that and they quietly get an Uber Eats in. It's like, they haven't seen it.
No, he only had three McFlurries and a fish fillet, but everyone was fed.
Yeah.
It was amazing. They kept breaking
it up. I thought he was just doing tuna butties. They got McFlurries.
They got McFlurries as well. But as far as the case goes, as far as this story goes, I think we're going to need to see a lot more in the way of evidence.
Mm-hmm. I will concede it's more or less a legend. I mean, so I said at the end, Lady Beresford got her kids and her closest friends around. One of those close friends did relay the story to the next generation. So it was written down within that lifetime. Mm. It wasn't like a Bible thing where 200 years went by.
Right, well, that's cool at least.
It was documented like secondhand.
Yeah.
But
and she
definitely died
in her 47th year.
Apparently.
Okay.
That's not the answer I think we're looking for. I don't know.
It would have been
maybe.
Good.
Who the f cares?
Well, that's what the lady says. You know what I mean?
Unless we find out this crucial bit of information, I think I'm going to be a no this week on the podcast.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be a no too. Just because we need to ratify that fact whether she did die and therefore the prophecy was fulfilled. And also, it would have been good if he like... said some more things that she could have verified to prove that this wasn't just a delusion.
Yeah.
Because in the proximity to the brother's death, they were obviously close because they were both orphans. They had a tumultuous upbringing. She could quite easily seen him due to grief.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, if we had more verifiable facts that he would have given her from the... Because it's not that he's just a ghost. He can see the future.
Yeah.
Which is...
We really kind of brushed over that.
Yeah, because that's two things, isn't it? One, being a ghost and coming back from the dead, but then also knowing how future events will unfold.
Yeah. Why does that prove that you're a ghost?
And also, if you're a brother, don't tell her.
I do love the idea of them having this pact for like... him to come back and tell her if there's a heaven. So one night she's sleeping and he, you know, his spirit appears and he's like, I've come back. And she's like, oh, you've come back to tell me that there is a heaven. Oh, no. You're going to die.
You are going to die.
That's why I'm back.
You're going to hate it. I just thought to me, if he can predict the future, if he can see the future, why does he not tell her about the mistake that's going to be made about her age?
I'm just jumping back in, guys, to say that she did die at age 47. She lived from 1666 to 1713. That's 47 years, folks.
The only problem is you took so long to rectify that question that we've actually got a new, better one.
Oh. Okay, so it sounds like you're pretty down on this story, too.
But I believe in the tarot.
Yeah, one for two. It's not bad.
Oh, we believe in the tarot?
Yeah, I'm on board. Hell, why not?
All right.
It's Halloween, guys. Let's get spooky.
So that's a triple no for the case of Lady Beresford and Lord Tyrone in Northern Ireland in the 1600s. But a yes for...
I think they're useful and spooky.
Okay, they're definitely spooky. Certified spooky. Is that paranormal?
Yeah.
That's a triple yes on the front of tarot cards.
And now I get a round up the podcast before you guys back out of that. Well, that just about rounds it up for the case of Halloween fortune telling. We hope that you have an amazing Halloween. Send us pictures of your costumes.
Yeah, go out there and gang some candy.
That's right, and send some of it to the commune. We've mentioned before, we're gonna need it. There's a food shortage, we can tell you that already.
The Halloween month, all Patreon donations will be candy instead of money. I want all of that in a bucket just sent directly to my house.
Yeah, you can send your candy and pics to thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com. What have you guys got planned for Halloween?
What do we have planned?
I'm actually just gonna get my pentagram plate out.
Okay.
Have a deviled sandwich.
Okay.
And converse with the evil lord.
Strong. I see these cards have had a powerful impact on you.
I'm just gonna flip my switch.
What?
Quiet night in. Mute the phone.
Oh.
You know.
I wish I hadn't asked.
Thank you so much, Daniel, for joining us
on
this episode of This Paranormal Life. We've been meaning to get you on for absolutely ages.
I couldn't be more prepared for Halloween now.
Yeah, because we've only ever had one other guest, which was Gav. And after that, we thought, we'll never again.
Yeah, it was horrendous. It was awful. It was unmitigated disaster.
But enough time has passed now that I think it's fine. That was
grass can grow again.
Yeah. And now it'll be another year because this was just awful.
Wow.
But thank you so much for joining us. If you want to follow Daniel on Twitter, he is at Krupa.
Yep.
Not sure how he got that username. I am infinitely jealous.
You do know I stole that off an Indian man who hadn't used his Twitter for 4 years.
Wow. There you go. Wow. That's actually a true story.
Interesting.
Mad jealous.
And illegal.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us for this special Halloween episode of This Paranormal Life.
Whoa.
I hope you have a spooky evening, and we will be back next Tuesday with a brand new paranormal tale. I want like a lightning bolt to end it.
That's good.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.